welcome to Leader Feeder. I'm Suzanne, and I'm here with Kirk Langford. Kirk, before we get started, did you know that it's National Cheesesteak Day?
Not only did I not know that it was National Cheesesteak Day, Suzanne, I didn't know that was a day. So I've learned two things today.
You know what? That's fair. I happen to really like cheesesteak, so okay. I've ordered it for us for lunch.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, just a heads up there for you.
Yeah, excellent. I can't wait.
So our topic today is talking about effective communication for frontline leaders. Again, communication is one of those like really big topics that we could talk a long time about. I would like to steer the conversation towards how can I avoid generalizations in my communication when I'm talking with my team?
Yeah, good question. That's a really big pitfall of communication.
Okay.
Is this idea of being too general? And actually, in our frontline leadership training course, in our communication module, right, we do a fun activity where we talk about generalizations or being too vague in our language, right?
Yes.
And so we ask people, we put a slide up and we say, if I were to say, Joe is always late, or Peter always is complaining about that, or this machine always breaks down, we then ask the people in the course, the participants, how often does it actually happen when we say the word always? And then we say, is it 0 to 25? Is it 26 to 50? Is it 51 to 75? Or is it 76 to 100? The funniest part of maybe of the whole course in some ways is the variance, the variety of answers that come for that. We've got people saying that it means 0 to 25, and we've got other people saying it means 76 to 100. Now, most people put it somewhere in the middle. Huh. Most people put it somewhere in the middle. So there is some consistency. But what it shows us right away is we say, folks, you are a small group of frontline leaders for the most part from the same organization. And you folks aren't in agreement about what it means when someone uses the word always.
Right.
So now imagine I'm a new employee, right? And on your team, and you say, this machine always breaks down. As that new employee, does that actually mean it's always broken and we need to buy a new machine 100% of the time it's broken? Does that mean it breaks down three times a month?
Right.
Does that mean it's twice a year?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We use these words, these generalizations, always, never, often, quite frequently, actually. And in doing so, we create really unclear communication.
Right.
And so one of the things that we teach in the course is the best thing to do is avoid using those words as much as possible. So instead of that machine always breaks down, that machine has broken down three times in the last 8 months.
Right.
Yes, it takes a little bit longer to say and you have to think a bit about it because you got to go, well, how many times has it broken down? But your communication will be much clearer and you are much less likely to have some sort of problem or misunderstanding thanks to that. So cut out those unclear words.
Right. No, that makes sense. I'm starting to think about all the times I've come to you with never and always, and you have almost always follow-up questions, because I'll come to you and say, oh, well, that never happens. Or you'll say, well, it obviously has, because when was the last time?
It.
Or when was this or when was that? So how would you then set some clear expectations for your team? Does that make sense? Trying to
getting away from generalizations into more clear language.
Right, because you had mentioned, you had mentioned previously that these generalizations don't make, wouldn't set some clear
expectations
for your team.
So first thing I'll say, actually what I just said, which is avoid those words, avoid the always and the nevers. But the other thing we can do is avoid things like as soon as possible, avoid not giving timelines or deadlines. If we're talking about expectations specifically, then instead of saying, I want you to be able to do that as quickly as possible, maybe it's, I want you to get that done by the end of this week. Can you have that done by Friday? Or, I will get back to you in a bit. Maybe it's, I'll get back to you by the end of the shift.
Right.
Or you will hear from me within 3 hours. Even if I don't have an answer to your problem, I will still let you know in 3 hours, by the way, still waiting for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say a clear way of setting expectations is to use very precise language when it comes to timelines, when it comes to goals.
Okay.
The more precise the language in some sense, the better. As a separate or connected note, but still a little bit separate, I think it's also important, though, that if you tell someone, I will come back to you at the end of the day, you need to do that, right? You need to either make a note or set a reminder on your phone or whatever it is. You need to actually do that. Because if you say, yeah, you'll hear from me by the end of the day, and the end of the day goes by and that person hasn't heard from you, it starts to erode the trust and respect that you have as a leader.
Right.
So if you're going to say, yeah, I'll follow up with you by the end of the day for sure, mm-hmm. make a point before the end of the day. Again, even if you don't have an answer, even if you don't know what the resolution is to a right. problem, hey, I'm still looking into it, but I wanted to touch base to let you know that.
So make sure that you're setting some follow-up actions
yeah.
then when yeah. you set these deadlines.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
interesting.
Right.
How can I use communication to address challenges and motivate my team?
Good question. Yeah. Communication is really a thread or a through line that runs through so much of leadership, right? So motivation,
right.
clarifying expectations. I think one thing we could talk about here is the idea of positive framing. So when we're dealing with a challenge, it's very easy to focus on the negative. It's easy to focus on what's going wrong. It's easy to focus on how frustrated we are. And using maybe some positive framing to say, we've overcome these sorts of challenges before, or we've done this before, or I believe in our ability to overcome these challenges. So positive framing can be a successful or a helpful tool in mm-hmm. that. And really what it does is it says, you know, it's not quite what you call sort of toxic positivity, which is only look at the good.
Oh,
but
yeah.
we can still acknowledge the bad, but say, but we're going to overcome this. I believe we can do it. And how can we think of this in a more positive way? So it's actually, in a way, it's using our communication to think a little bit more positively overall. Okay. So that's mm-hmm. one thing we can do to address challenges. I think the other thing when it comes to addressing challenges and using communication to do that is transparency, right?
Yes.
So tell your people what you know, as much as you know, when you know it. Because when you're in a challenge, if you're struggling together and people find out that you knew something that you didn't share, that's generally going to create frustration and even resentment. Mm-hmm. So I think if you can tell them what you know, when you know it, to the extent that that you can tell them something, you should share that information with your team. And so communicating with your team while you're going through a challenge, mm-hmm. I think is going to help make it where you all feel like you're on the same page and you're working together. I think it will also result in them sharing more with you, communicating more with you. So you're setting the example and they will follow your example. So they're not going to withhold information
right.
or they're not going to say, oh, I didn't think you cared about that. I didn't think you wanted to know. I'd rather have sort of too much information that I can then filter rather mm-hmm. than have important information that's not coming to me that I want to know or need to know in order to address a challenge or fix a problem. And then in terms of motivating, I think it actually does that too. I think sharing information with your team can be motivating. One of the things that I think we all want as employees and as people working for an organization is an understanding of the value that we provide. And so I think we look away from the pizza parties and we look away from the, you know, all of those little things that are meant to sort of be motivators and engagers. And I think they do that to some extent. I'm not completely discrediting them, but I think at the end of the day, a lot of employees just want to know, what value do I bring mm-hmm. to the team, to the organization? And so using communication to share that information, I think can be really motivating. Hey, I know that this week has been frustrating, but I just want you to know that without you here, this would have been a lot more frustrating for everybody. So I just want to say that I appreciate, you know, what you bring to the table and the help that you provide this team. Now that you could argue that, oh, if we were to put this into modules, that's more about recognizing your team and celebrating, but mm-hmm. you're doing that through communication. So I think taking the time to communicate that is important. I think there's a lot of leaders that would say, my team knows I appreciate them. My team knows I love them. My team knows that I care about them. I mean, I show up every day. They show up every day. We have a great time. But I don't always think that is the case. I think in a lot of cases, we need to be more explicit in kind of communicating that praise or that positivity with our team.
Oh, some really great information mm-hmm. there. I'm going to shift the conversation, even though that was fantastic information,
no worries.
To why is it important to avoid sarcasm and humor?
That is a
you
shift.
You know what? Maybe I should mention in serious situations,
okay.
right? Because I mean, a little bit, I imagine, is okay.
Yeah, for
right?
sure. Humor can actually be a wonderful tool. You know, a leader with a tiny little bit of self-deprecating humor, mm-hmm. you know, that doesn't take themselves too seriously and is willing to admit that they make mistakes and laugh mm-hmm. at themselves is a beautiful thing. Everybody wants a leader that is human. You know, that's what we want. We want people that we can connect with and that we feel like, hey, they're a great leader, but they're also human. And I love that about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think humor is great. I think sarcasm is tough because sarcasm makes it really challenging to know when the person is being serious or not, especially if you have a boss that is just dripping in sarcasm. They're always sarcastic. it makes it really challenging. And we used to sort of say specifically it made people who maybe don't speak the same language as you as their first language, it made it hard for them.
Oh, yes.
But I think really makes it for anyone, even if someone's new to the team. It doesn't matter if they, you know, speak English as their first language like the leader does. They still might go, I don't know when he's kidding and when he's not, right? There's really obvious sarcasm, which is, oh, amazing, you showed up for work on time. And I think we can it doesn't feel good, but we still know it's sarcasm. But there's other times where it's actually more serious, like you said, and we don't necessarily know that it's sarcasm or not. So I think it's really important to avoid it because it creates, I think, a lot of sort of vagueness. I think it creates a lot of potentially animosity between us and our employees if we're using a lot of sarcasm. And it creates a lot of uncertainty and maybe a lack of psychological safety, which we know from different studies is an important piece to a successful team. So at the end of the day, I mean, I know some leaders tend to rely on sarcasm, kind of lean into it. I think it's okay to have a little bit of sarcasm, especially maybe with people that you know better or have been on your team longer. But I really think frontline leaders would do better to really limit the amount of sarcasm they use, because I don't think they realize how much their sarcasm actually leads to a destabilizing effect on the team.
Right. Well, like you said, if someone's coming, you know, maybe coming into work late often, then using some vague language there, often, when you're being sarcastic, saying, oh, you know, well, glad you showed up today, you know, that we talk a lot about, you know, your body language and your words matching
and
your body language
and,
and your tone, right? So you can see how that would be very confusing maybe to someone where, like, that's actually a more serious situation coming to work late, and you're making it into something, and that person then starts thinking, oh, I guess it's
serious?
Okay because it's a big joke, or
that's a
not
point.
Take it seriously.
We might underestimate how important or severe something is, because if we're hiding behind sarcasm, there's a big difference between, oh, well, you managed to show up today, congratulations, versus, this is the third time this week you've been late. I'm concerned. We need to have a chat about that because I do expect you to be on time.
Right.
Yes, it sucks to have to be the serious one. It sucks to have to kind of lay down the law sometimes. But it's our job as leaders to do so. And it's our job to make it clear what the expectation is. And and I think sarcasm makes expectations really hard to clarify.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much. Those are some really great tips
for our
frontline leaders to take away. Thank you for tuning in to the Leader Feeder episode. We'll see you soon. After our cheesecakes.
That's right, cheesesteaks.